Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Text 39 from Canto 4, Chapter 25. Dharma yatrartha kamaucha prajanandomritam yashaha loka vishoka virja yanna kevalino vidho dharma yatrartha kamaucha Prajanandomritam yashaha Loka vishoka virja Yana kevalino viduho Dharma,
religious ritual.
He certainly atra here in the grihastha ashram or householder life. Artha, economic development. Kamau, sense gratification. Cha, and praja anandaha, the pleasure of generations. Amritam,
the results of sacrifice.
Yashaha,
reputation.
Lokaha, planetary systems. Vishokaha,
without lamentation.
Virjaha,
without disease.
Yana,
which?
Na,
never.
Kevalinaha,
the transcendentalists.
Vidoho,
no. Before I read the translation, this nice lady, she's advocating non-Krishna consciousness. So don't believe her. Translation, the woman continued, in this material world, the householder's life brings all kinds of happiness and religion, economic development, sense gratification, and the beginning of children, sons, and grandsons after that. One may desire liberation as well as material reputation. The householder can appreciate the results of sacrifices which enable him to gain promotion to superior planetary systems. All this material happiness is practically unknown to the transcendentalists. Poor transcendentalists. They cannot even imagine such happiness. Page and a half purport by Srila Prabhupada. According to Vedic injunctions, there are two paths for human activities. One is called pravritti marga, and the other is called nivritti marga. Interesting sentence. The basic principle for either of these paths is religious life. In animal life, there is only pravritti marga. Pravritti marga means sense enjoyment, and nivritti marga means spiritual advancement. In the life of animals and demons, there is no conception of nivritti marga, nor is there any actual conception of pravritti marga. Pravritti marga maintains that even though one has the propensity for sense gratification, he can gratify his senses according to the directions of the Vedic injunctions. For example, everyone has the propensity for sex life, but in demoniac civilization, sex is enjoyed without restriction. According to Vedic culture, sex is enjoyed under Vedic injunctions. Thus, the Vedas give direction to civilized human beings to enable them to satisfy their propensities for sense gratification. Paragraph. Just like he's outlining the yoga ladder. We'll come back to that. In the Nivritti Marga, however, on the path of transcendental realization, sex is completely forbidden. The social orders are divided into four parts: brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. And only in the household of life can the Prevritti Marga be encouraged or accepted according to Vedic instructions. Something? Okay. In the orders of brahmacharya, vanaprastha, and sannyas, there are no facilities for sex. Paragraph. In this verse, the woman is advocating Prevritti Marga only and is discouraging the path of Nivritti Marga. She clearly says that the Yatis, the transcendentalists, who are concerned only with spiritual life, Kaivalya, enjoys the materialistic way of life not only by becoming happy in this life, but also in the next life by being promoted to the heavenly planets. In this life, such a person gets all kinds of material opulences, such as sons and grandsons, because he's always engaged in various religious functions. The material distresses are birth, old age, disease, and death. But those who are interested in Prevritti Marga hold various religious functions at the time of birth, old age, disease, and death, without caring for the distresses of birth, old age, disease, and death. They are addicted to performing the special functions according to the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. And final paragraph. Factually, however, Prevritti Marga is based on sex life. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.9.45, one of Prahladananda Swami's favorite verses, Yain maitunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. A householder who is too much addicted to Prevritti Marga is actually called the Grihamedi, not a Grihastha. Although the Grihastha desires sense gratification, he acts according to Vedic injunctions. The Grihamedi, however, who is interested only in sense gratification, does not follow any Vedic injunction. The Grihamedi engages himself as an advocate of sex life and also allows his sons and daughters to engage in sex and to be deprived of any glorious end in life. A grihastha enjoys sex life in this life as well as in the next, but a grihamedi does not know what the next life is about because he is simply interested in sex in this life. On the whole, when one is too much inclined towards sex, he does not care for the transcendental spiritual life in this age of Kali, especially. No one is interested in spiritual advancement, even though it is sometimes found that one may be interested in spiritual advancement. He is most likely to accept a bogus method of spiritual life, being misguided by so many pretenders.
End of purport. Dharmo yatrartha kamaucha prajanandom ritam yashaha lokabisho kabhiraja yan na kevalino vidu. Yan na kevalino vidu. Those unfortunate transcendentalists. Na vidu, they don't know. So along with advocating, one has to kind of say something disparaging about the alternative. We do the same. This is good and that's not good. And they say, this is good. The translation, the woman continued, in the material world, the householder's life brings all kinds of happiness, tradition, economic development, education, and the beginning of children's sons and friends. After that, one may desire liberation as well as material reputation. The householder can appreciate the results of sacrifices, which enable him to gain promotion, superior monetary system. All this material happiness is actually unknown to the transcendentalist. This is for kind of summarizing. They don't like Krishna. Gives them strong faith. Where does anything come from? It comes from Krishna. And faith is supplied or supported. It's nourished by Supersoul. According to, you know, how one regards Krishna, Krishna gives faith in whatever that something is. I have faith in, if I get, you know, whatever it is. If I get my gold medal as an Olympic athlete, or if I get elected in the post of some government, you know, so I, whatever it is, I become successful in business, or I, whatever, I find a nice wife, or whatever it is. I become a jihadi and I find happiness. Whatever it is, faith is supplied by the one, by the same one that one, the ability to fulfill that which one has faith in comes from, to whatever degree one can do that. Revolving around how one regards Krishna. So, persons in the material world are in the material world because they have an attitude toward Krishna. And the attitude isn't necessarily, I don't like him. But it is, I want his position. So because I want his position, kind of indirectly, well, I don't like him. I want to sit on the king's throne. And everyone in the kingdom is hovering around and lauding and praising the king, and I like that position. Coveting the position that he should be enjoying. So there is an attitude towards he who is the creature, the supreme ruler. Envy and covetousness. I have raga dvesha. I want and I don't like. So, because of that, lots of problems. And to solve the problem because I want happiness, I kind of have to go to, here's the yoga ladder thing. The unregulated everybody. Those that don't have any standards of God-given means of living properly. The unregulated everybody. And even where it is in the name of religion, it's sinful. That's like awful. And it's very prevalent. So then there's those that are regulated. So it's like a pyramid or a ladder. So there's a big base in the pyramid, everybody that's unregulated. And then some accept regulation. But those that accept the first rung of those that accept regulation, that's the pravritti. They want enjoyment, but they understand there's a dispenser of the things that bring enjoyment. There's acknowledgement of something. Generally, in the Vedic culture at least, there's devas and devis, and they dispense knowledge, health, wealth, good fortune, happy family life, and, things that look like happiness. And so they regulate themselves by the karmakanda procedures. That's what she's advocating here, and that's why Prabhupada has translated it in the first line, dharmo. Prabhupada has translated, because that's what she's referring to, is religious ritual. There were religious rituals, the karmakanda section of the Vedas. That dharma. And as we discussed yesterday and the evening before, this desire, the Vedas are compared sometimes to a desire tree. And dharma is the trunk of the tree. Like Prabhupada says, religion means laws given by God. And a religious person is one who follows the laws given by God. There's dharma and dharmi. So we follow the laws given by God as the trunk of the tree because it gives the fruits of the tree. Prosperity, and with prosperity, that's the artha. At least from the perspective of looking at a tree that gives what you want, what do you want? Well, I want prosperity. So I go to church or synagogue or temple or whatever the name of the place is, the gathering place, and I approach God. And I have my little list or big list. And, it's well-being and prosperity, keep my family safe, and et cetera. Petitions for well-being on the material plane. And that's what God's for. He's a wish fulfiller. And he has a big warehouse. He can supply lots of things. And I know it. And therefore, I do my dharma. And, in terms of Vedic culture, it's the religious ritual. Okay, well, I'm this, described in the purport, I'm this religious person following the Vedas, I'm following the pravritti mark, and those that follow the religious system, including the transcendentalists, and so that both the nivritti and pravritti group, there's birth, death, disease, and old age. We know that from Bhagavad Gita. Janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha doshanu darshanam is the Sanskrit from chapter 13. So this is one of the items of knowledge. The transcendentalist has knowledge and they see birth, death, disease, and old age. The nivritti people, when they see this one, that one, the other one, it's time for a ceremony. They like. They're habituated to, they're addicted to, that's their happiness as they go from one to the next. Some of you may have read Brihat Bhagavatamrita. You read some parts of it? Brihat Bhagavatamrita, Gopi Puranadanda's translation and commentary on Brihat Bhagavatamrita. It's a something of a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very beautiful literature. So, one of the sections is Gopakumar goes above the heavenly planets, because people, this is speaking of people on the earth. So there's seven upper planetary systems, starting with earth, Bhu, Loka, or Bhu, Mandala, that's us. Then Bhuvar Loka and Swarga Loka. So those who do this here, as described by this nice lady, she's advocating, you know, you'll go to Swarga Loka. Enjoy your family life, producing children, so forth, so on, and then you'll go to the heavenly planets after this, where there's so much more opulence and, you know, prosperity, like anything. And generally there's not much of an understanding or appreciation of anything other than the Ferris wheel. And then come back again and do it again. So while here, going from to confront, or to the antidote for the miseries of life, as you do a religious ritual. Because then it elevates your piety and your prosperity and in this life and sense gratification and so forth in the next life. According to Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there's four more planetary systems, and the planetary system above heaven, or Swargaloka, is Janaloka. Maharaloka. Maharaloka or Janaloka? Maharaloka. Maharaloka is made of grihastas. And grihastas who, although they're married, there's no sex life. There's yagyas. They're not interested in the material enjoyment of being married, like this lady is advocating. They're in another plane. So those that have that, not attraction, but they have attraction to yagyas. So that, as she's advocating, a wife can help the husband in doing these dharma, this religious ritual. And one of the reasons, the main reason that they like, is when they're pouring oblations into the fire, the Supreme Lord appears, and with his hands extended, he accepts their oblations. Woo! So they, you know, swaha, swaha, swaha. And as soon as they're done with one yagya, they go to the next yagya, because there's this, then this, the encounter with the Supreme Lord. That's their happiness. So we'll go back down again to what she's advocating is, there's a happiness, and there is happiness in performing religious rituals. I'm sure. At least everyone has that had contact with pious Indian families. Pious Indian families. They like yagyas. They like yagyas. And there's a happiness, and, you know, it's like they want to be present for the yagya, and they get dressed up, and they, you know, all this, it's where their social thing is. It's like preparing themselves for the heavenly planets. They like. And, you know, misery, no problem. It's time for a yagya. It's being expressed to us by Prabhupada in this final purpose. And then, so in I think it's Janaloka. I think it's Janaloka. So they just like go from one ritual to the next ritual, the next ritual, the next ritual, the next ritual, because the Supreme Lord comes, and when the ritual is over, he disappears, so the next ritual. That's their happiness. They're associated. The happiness is association with the Supreme Lord through that medium. And that's what they know, and so they like it. They're fans. They're advocates of doing rituals for that purpose. doesn't say much about the next one, Maharloka. And then Tapaloka, that's like of the seven upper planetary systems, it's system number six. Brahmacharis and sannyasi celibates only. And they don't do yajñas. Their contact with Supreme is different. It's two other things. You know, as brahmacharis will do. They do. And they're like, they're really into it, because when they meditate, the Supreme Lord appears in their mind. Like, you know, we hear of Dhruva, the Supreme Lord appeared in his mind. Or, and other examples. Other examples. So, the Supreme Lord appears, so they stay in meditation for a long, long, long time. When Gopakumar goes there, he's wondering, you know, why nobody will talk to me. They're not rude, they seem to be nice people, but you know, they won't talk to me. It's because they're absorbed in meditation. And when they finish their meditation, then the next thing they do is they discuss Krishna Katha. And then they take a little prasad, take a little nap, and go back and do more meditation. Like, that's their program. No sex life, no interest in those. They want contact with the Supreme Lord. And then Brahmaloka is above that, or Satyaloka. And then the coverings of the universe, and then beyond the coverings of the universe. To, you know, to attain that beyond the universe, that's mukti. So these are activities that are not the mukti activities, these are the worldly enjoyment activities. Although they're to the upper planetary systems, if one is living properly in the upper planetary systems, it's Krishna-centered or God-centered with some enjoyment aspect. Not so, the higher feature is the feature of service. When Gopakumar goes to Tapaloka, the meditators say, what are you doing? You're looking for Madan Gopal. We see him all day long. Just come on in and enjoy the meditation program. You don't have to look anymore. They give other philosophical things, but they're philosophical. They say seeing starts in the mind. But just do meditation. You'll see. Because it starts in the mind. And you know, it sounds, well, that's interesting. Sounds a little compelling. He did meditation for a while, but it wasn't the same. He intuitively knew it wasn't the same. Because the higher is the service. Not just manmana, but bhava mad bhakto. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. Use your senses in the service of the master of the senses. So we're being, the advocacy of the Bhagavatam is to take us to that right away. One of the teaching techniques, I learned this from Bhurijan's Art of Teaching course. One of the teaching techniques or methods that's used in school or any kind of education, parents do it all the time. Compare and contrast. To understand this, in contrast, there's that. So there may be some elements that are similar, fixing the mind in Krishna. Here's the difference, contrast. And then there's planetary systems and lifestyles that correspond with that, as opposed to this. So the Bhagavatam is teaching us this, like, you know, transcendence. So here's this lady, and again from yesterday's discussion, she is material intelligence, and she's trying to convince Paranjana, or you know, the person who has an attitude problem towards Krishna, keep your attitude towards Krishna. Here's why. Da 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 da. There's enjoyment in these rituals, and the transcendentalists, with this word, Kevala, what is it? Kevalinyo, Kevalinaha, the transcendentalist in Prabhupada's, in the purport, called them the Kaivalya. So if you remember Keshit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudeva Parayana. Did I just press that here? No. Sorry, okay. Keshit. The chapter, Canto 6, is given the title Prescribed Duties for Mankind. Similar here. Prescribed Duties for Mankind, just like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita. His big question was, what's my duty? And a religious person will ask, what's my duty? Here's the situation of life that's confronting me. What is my duty? Not like what feels good. Now, if you're not a regulated person, here's what your duty is. Enjoy. If it feels good, do it. Hedonism. Animal life. That's it. Why are you asking this question? Yeah, it's just, feels good, do it. That's all. And then the theistic person says, well, besides whether it feels good, what's my duty to get the happiness that I wish to get? So, we're hearing, there's happiness in doing religious rituals, that dharma. And then I also get what I want, which is, artha. Exactly what the verse is saying. She's advocating. And then from artha, then kama. And then, after this life, there's either reputation, so after I'm gone, behind me, or surviving my life, will be my reputation. People will still honor me. Material life is like that. Or maybe even liberation. That place that's beyond this place. But, while here, I want to be happy, and then maybe more happy. Happiest. That's pravritti. Progressive involvement in matter to enjoy. She's an advocate. That's material intelligence. Depending upon the culture and depending upon, those kinds of guna and karma, they're different advocates of pravritti. So Vedic is very explicit. There's yajnas and rituals that take one up the ladder of material enjoyment. Very clearly, from the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, read the purport, Prabhupada discusses, and the second verse, Dharma prodita kaitavo tra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. The Bhagavatam is advocating, not pravritti. The language of the Bhagavatam is very strong. Like she's, the transcendentalists, they don't know, they don't even have a clue what real happiness is. The Bhagavatam says, those who are involved in pravritti, they don't have a clue what real happiness is. Exactly what Prabhupada is saying in the purport, that the animals and the demons, they don't have a clue what nivritti is. And then he also goes on to say, they don't even have a clue what pravritti is. It's just, if it feels good, do it. The animals and the demons. And then there's the regulated. They know what pravritti is. If you do the ritual to get the happiness. And then the transcendentalist understands, all this is temporary. Why invest in the temporary? Then poof, it's gone. What is the happiness? That's not what real happiness is. That's not what I want as happiness, nor is it what real happiness is. I want happiness that doesn't go away, but it continues. Sat. I don't want asat. I want sat. I want that which is eternal. So what's that happiness that's eternal? Well, if you're not a Vaishnava, it's Brahman. Brahmananda, the happiness of merging with Brahman. And if you're a Vaishnava, well, wait a minute. That's the amount of happiness in the hoofprint of a calf compared to an ocean of happiness that comes from devotional service. So this is the compare and contrast. There's happiness in the Vedic process, temporary. The real happiness is the connection with the Supreme Lord, although it's indirect. But through that process, Brahma Samhita very clearly explains, one will not understand the Supreme Lord. In fact, one may even have an aversion to the Supreme Lord, at least an aversion to the concept of there's got to be one Supreme Lord. Because if there's only one Supreme Lord, I got to surrender. I don't want to surrender. I want to enjoy. You know, people ask sometimes, you know, why there's this many gods program? Not just Western people, but Indian. Why not just, someone was writing to me like that. Why did Krishna set it up like that? He could just said there's only one. Period. Well, then we'd have a lot of people that don't do anything religious because they've got an attitude problem. They don't want the one. They don't want surrender. What do they want? They want to enjoy. They're all really strong. I want to enjoy. Okay, I'll follow these. I'll do the perverti program. I'll follow these rituals and do the thing because it works. I get prosperity. I get pious credits. With the pious credits, I get prosperity. With the prosperity, I'll enjoy. And then, you know, I'll go to the good place after this life. For those that do not want to surrender to Krishna, that's an alternative. So there are systems for that within the Vedas. Because it's a desire tree. But the top of the desire tree is beyond liberation. It's the fifth, Prabhupada sometimes calls it the fifth dimension. By that fifth dimension, it indicates beyond moksha, beyond the merging with the supreme kind of moksha, is the eternal position of service. Eternal position of service. But just last... In the very expert way that Narada is helping the king, Prajñāvāri, to get unstuck, rather than saying, king, you're stuck, instead, he's, you know, telling a story about a living entity who's stuck and the kind of material intelligence that helps him stay stuck. But then what's going to come up is the unintended consequences, you know, the misery that comes from following material intelligence, even pious ritualistic material intelligence, the misery that follows that. To the point where the king, Paranjana, the fictitious king, or allegorical king, becomes so attached to his material intelligence that when he dies he becomes a woman. But the good news is when he becomes a woman, he or now she somehow understands, whoops, I made a boo-boo. And so she finds a good husband, and with a good husband she does devotional service and goes back to Godhead. Yay! So better to do it in this life. Spiritual intelligence. And not unnecessarily have to endure the consequences of seeking happiness in the temporary realm, because it doesn't exist. Real happiness doesn't exist. Any questions or comments? You had your hand up even before I finished. Very enthusiastic this morning. Yeah.
So, yesterday I was going to talk about the Dharma, the Kama,
Moksha. Yeah, yeah. So first line.
I was thinking. So, from the part of what we're understood it.
Yeah.
The understanding is the religious persons, the regulated religious persons who follow this Dharma Artha Kama Moksha is like following the Pravritti mark.
Pravritti, correct.
So Srimad Bhagavatam talks on the Paradharma, which is the surrendering to Krishna, which is kind of advocates Nivritti mark.
Nivritti, or as you said yesterday evening, Paradharma. Same.
So it advocates Nivritti mark.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that's the one to look at that. And then there is one more that when you're explaining about the teaching technique to help.
I'm explaining what?
The teaching technique.
Teaching technique, compare and contrast.
To help out explain a situation.
Yeah.
You do compare and contrast.
Sometimes, that's an option.
Could you please explain it?
Sure. Sure. I would like, you asked a question yesterday evening. How do we help people that don't know about Krishna consciousness to understand about Krishna consciousness? So one of the options on the shelf for you to reach to, depending upon the person, is to help them understand what Krishna consciousness is. Help them understand what their present conception of Dharma is. And then show the holes in the bucket. Sataputta would do that regularly with scientists. It's another application of the same principle. Material scientists hold such and such view. Okay, let's look at such and such view. And to help ensure the scientist that Sataputta has understood their view, he articulates their view. And their view is, like this. And they go, yes, he's understood our view. Now, along with that view, here's a question. There's a hole in the bucket. What about this? What about that? What about the other thing? So, conceptually, there's flaws. Scientists do this all the time with other scientists. You have this theory. Here's some evidence that contradicts your theory. I forget their terminology. Something. Fancy word. So, look at this bucket that has so many holes in it. Now, let's see. Maybe there's a better alternative. It's like, say, Big Bang. There's a lot of scientists that go, boo, Big Bang, boo. And they say, wait a minute, Big Bang. And they're showing the holes in the theory. There are things that just doesn't explain, or here's some evidence that shows it can't be so. For example. Or other things. So that's here's this. Now, then, in contrast, let's look at that. In order to advocate this new model, that, the person that doesn't know about Krishna consciousness, here's this new model. Here's what this new model does that's superior to the bucket with the holes in it. Here's a bucket that doesn't have holes in it. Compare and contrast. Or, with your daughter. I got her button. So, with your daughter. She may think, yeah, but mommy, da-da-da-da-da-da. So, mommy doesn't scold her because she's a teenager. You don't do that with teenagers. You sit down and say, well, let's take a look at this model. Whatever it is that seems to be, she thinks is nice. Video games or whatever. I don't know what the things are. Fashion or whatever it is that she likes. Something. So let's take a look at it. Here's the glitter attractive features. Mommy understands it. Is there anything in here that's got some holes in it? Where does this lead to? And then where does that lead to? And where does that lead to? Yeah, but mommy, I know I won't go there and I won't go there and I won't go there.
I'm okay with whatever. Anyway, so then tendency is this leads to that, leads to that. The domino effect is it happens. So now let's take a look at an alternative. Here's an alternative. It's supported by the Bhagavatam. You know, that's the foundation. The foundation is Bhagavatam is teaching us this nirvritti. It's you know, progressive lessening, progressively lessening one's involvement in matter. Specifically, because the problem is one thing leads to the next thing is the spirit of wanting to enjoy independently of the Supreme. That's why we're in the material world. So those things that we need, you accept because you need them. And you use them in service to the Supreme. That's the cultivation model that we have. Then by cultivating that in service to the Supreme Spirit, the sense of needing stuff diminishes because there's a greater happiness inside. That's our model. What do you think of, what do you think? Which is the, well, yeah, but, so let's do it again. Let's go down the path of material enjoyment. It looks attractive. Ooh. So then you go down the path of material enjoyment. Where does it lead? Yeah, but mommy, I won't do those things that other kids do, and don't worry about me. You know, I'm good. I'm not bad. I know the difference between bad and good. And so, compare and contrast. It's just an example of that. There's risk. So that the protection against the risk is you only do those things that are, bhakti is the protection. You only do those things that are pleasing to Krishna. Please explain to me how fashion is pleasing to Krishna. Or whatever the thing is. Whatever the thing is. How is this pleasing to Krishna? Is it pleasing to Krishna or is it another principle that's operating? And if you follow another principle that's operating, where will it take you? And if you follow the principle of if it's pleasing to Krishna, where will it take you? So where do you want to go? You want to go there or you want to go there? Etc.
Say it's good to compare and contrast to explain the situation. And then my next one is like, what if they, like practically, okay, no, only you're saying like that, but you know, all my other kids, friends, all devoted friends, not the other friends, they're also doing or, you know, their parents, they don't say anything, but I try to explain like, you know, each parent's a difference.
Yeah.
But you know what?
This isn't a parenting class. This is a Bhagavatam class. Parenting is a challenge in the modern age. So the knowledge is not sufficient. Bhakti is sufficient. And it includes knowledge. But it fortifies. Because when there isn't bhakti, then one can argue this way or one can argue that way. And, you know, then arguments go back and forth endlessly.
Okay.
But I don't want to keep going on it. The principle of pravritti nivritti is very clear. Whether this family, that family, this kid, that kid, or, you know, people out, you know, besides the non-devotee, the devotee, whatever it is. Let's look at the principle. How does the principle apply? How does it play out? Where does it lead you? With it better to not use the tone that I just used in dealing with a teenager because you'd get a pushback. So, you know, put it on paper. Here, let's make a chart. Here's what the path of pravritti does. And here's what the path of Nivritti does. And in between, there's, you know, the royal, even on the royal road, there's risk. So what's the position of safety? Where's their protection? Something else. Okay. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.